this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine is dedicated to Lara. Happy fucking birthday.
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I would think they'll let you live wherever you want.
Then I will live in Montana. And I will marry a round American woman and raise rabbits. And she will cook them for me. And I will have a pickup truck and drive from state to state. Do they let you do that?
Yes.
No papers?
No papers. State to state.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where we hate conservatives and liberals alike. I am your host, Stimulator. And doesn't it seem like the end is nearer than we think?
Now believe me, if I thought there was any evidence at all that drilling could save people money who are struggling to fill up their gas tanks by this summer or this year or even the next few years, I would consider it. But it won't. So today we're announcing the expansion of offshore oil and gas exploration.
Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
While Obama and his pals from Booty Poop Shooters, or BP, took a massive dump on the Gulf of Mexico, and the racist settlers from the state of Arizona were figuring out new fascistic ways to keep the brown man down, peeps the world over were getting together to challenge the already collapsing power structure. In LA, over 100,000 peeps flooded the streets to send a clear message to Arizona Governor Jan Brewer and the rest of the numbnuts from the Arizona legislature.
We didn't cross the border! The border crossed us!
On Cinco de Mayo, I was sent a trailer for the new film Machete, produced by Austin filmmaker Robert Rodriguez. We have the script, and everything that's in the trailer is here, and more. And it's worse than I could even imagine.
Meanwhile, the rulers of Fortress Europe are trying to save their imaginary Ponzi scheme, also known as the economy, by putting the squeeze on the Greeks.
This is a crime for the Greeks. The government must find ways to obtain the funds and treat the people well.
Greece is part of the group of European countries that are being forced to cut government programs in order to save the euro. These are Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. Or pigs. Yep, it would be pretty ironic if the pigs were the ones who took this whole system down. Yeah, I know, that was pretty fucking bad. As we have seen during the past few years, the Greeks don't like to be fucked with, and as expected, Greek citizens got together and took part of a candlelight vigil. Yeah, I'm just fucking with you. Once again, thousands attempted to storm the parliament, while others set all kinds of things on fire, including cops. Unfortunately, the firebombing of the bank resulted in the death of three bank workers. Yep, the class war can get messy, but the accidental death of the Greek bank employees has received a disproportionate amount of coverage by the turd-nibbling mainstream media who want to discredit the motherfucking resistance, while giving wimpy-ass pacifists more fodder for their weak and cowardly analysis. All this while ignoring the state-sanctioned murder of Betty Cariño, a freedom fighter from Oaxaca, Mexico. Betty was gunned down by pro-government paramilitaries while conducting a fact-finding mission with other human rights activists. Here's Betty in December of 2009.
Es necesario, pues, hermanos, hermanas, mujeres, sobre todo.
It is necessary, brothers and sisters, and especially for our women, who are on the forefront of the home, on the forefront of the fields, and on the forefront of the land, to recognize our strength, the mighty strength that accompanies us, to tell the government that we are confronting right now, that we are not afraid, and that we will never fear them, and that the time of the people, the indigenous people, is at hand.
And finally, just in time for Nakba, a punk motherfucker illegal Israeli settler, shot and killed a Palestinian teenager in the occupied West Bank. Israeli settler violence has been on the rise, and this is just the latest in the long history of Zionist brutality against the Palestinian people. but more on that after the break. As a way of remembering Nakba, I dedicate this song to all my Palestinian peeps.
This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine. While we listen to tunes made by ignorant fools, Israel blocked the UN from delivering food. They bring in the troops and you won't even glimpse of the news. They make money off the products that we're quick to consume. And it's not simply a question of differing views. Forget emotions, this is facts, what I spit is the truth. Makes no difference if you're a Christian or if you're a Jew. They're just people living in different conditions to you. They still die when you bomb their schools, mosques and hospitals. It's not because of rockets, please God, can you stop this all? I'm not related to the strangers on the TV, but I relate, cause those strangers could have been me. Words could never ever explain the raw tragedy. It's not a war, they're just murdering more rapidly, and we are automatically supporting pure savagery. Imagine how you feel if this was your family.
Imagine if you were gangsta chilling in your home, and some motherfuckers forced their way in and told you you could not live there anymore.
It's my house.
Now imagine if those same motherfuckers said you could set up camp in your own backyard.
You get the fuck out!
But you had to ask for permission if you wanted to leave, or come into the house to take a shit, and these same motherfuckers control the access to your food and water. What the fuck would you do? Now, imagine if this happened in North America on a larger scale. A bunch of foreigners forced themselves into the land, kicked inhabitants off their homes, and gave them tiny pieces of land to live in. If this was happening today, most red-blooded barbecue sauce-loving Americans would pick up their Smith & Wessons and take care of biz.
Overeat!
Well, this type of fucked up situation has happened already in many parts of the world, including North America, and through mankind's history. It's called colonization. One of the most recent examples of this practice happened to the Palestinians. To find out more about the conflict between Israel and Palestine, I spoke with Professor Rami Zuraik. Hey Prof, how the fuck are you?
Okay.
So, Palestine versus Israel, what's the big fucking deal?
I'll start that the initial idea drove the invention of Zionism and the creation of the state of Israel, the state which is a self-declared state for the Jews, that is for a certain group of people and not for other groups of people. And I think this has to be traced to the centuries of anti-Semitism that has been prevalent in Europe and in most of the white world. At the end of the 19th century, a group of people led by Theodor Herzl got together and decided that they were looking for another nation, a place where the Jewish people could establish a nation. They looked at various ideas, Argentina, places in Africa, and eventually thought that it would make some sense to establish a Jewish state in Palestine. Then, of course, people also driven by anti-Semitism in Europe started coming and settling in Palestine, but small numbers of people. And these, because Palestine was first under Ottoman rule, and yeah, that is under the Turkish Empire at that time, and then Palestine, historic Palestine, was then under British mandate. And eventually, after, of course, the horrors of the Holocaust, then the more and more an increasing number of Jewish people made their way into Palestine. The problem, of course, is that unlike what has been presented to the Jewish people themselves and to the whole of the world, this was a land where there were people. There were people called the Palestinians. This was not what people say, that this was a land without people for a people without a land. This was a place where there were people who had been there cultivating the land, being farmers, being traders, being merchants. They had their cities, and the problem was that This was, for the Zionist movement, this was something that was not acceptable. The Arabs, the Palestinians, had to be expelled from Palestine before the State of Israel could be created, and this is what they set on doing.
Former commander and shit, Jimmy Carter published a book called Palestine, Peace Not Apartheid. Is Mr. Peanut Farmer Man correct?
Sure. I think apartheid is a very mild way of putting what goes on and what has gone on in Palestine. Apartheid is the division of rights, of geographic space, of between people, where some people get more rights than others because of their ethnic appartenance, their ethnic belonging, because of the color of their skin in South Africa. Zionism is much, much worse than apartheid. Zionism has got, apartheid is part of mild Zionism, but Zionism stands for the replacement of a people by another people. The expulsion of a people and its replacement by another people who has no links with the country in which they are inhabiting. Under South African apartheid, the black people were placed in Bantustan. In Palestine, the Zionists expelled forcefully through massacres, which we remember every day, because today, this time is the time when we remember the Nakba, the great disaster that has struck the Palestinian people. And there was a movement of expelling them, through scaring them, through committing murder, massacres such as in Tel Yassin. And this is very well documented in the world of Zionist historians themselves.
Can you break down for me how life is for Palestinians in the occupied territories?
Palestine is, of course, divided into two places. The place that is currently called Israel, which is what we call 48 Palestine, which is the land the great part of the land that has gone to the Zionists when Palestine was partitioned by the United Nations. And in there, of course, you have people who are called Israeli, who have Israeli nationality and who are Jewish, and people who have Israeli citizenship and who are Arab. And these two identifications are clearly reflected in their identity papers. And if you are an Arab in 48 Palestine, you're not allowed to study the same major that somebody who is not Arab can study. You are not allowed, for example, to hold many jobs, because many jobs require you to have military service. And the Arabs, who are, I repeat, 20% of the population today, more in a few years, are not allowed to hold these positions because they do not go to the army. There are also in other forms of discrimination, like, for example, being refused access to live in the same neighborhood as people who are not Arab. There are Arab neighborhoods and non-Arab neighborhoods. Now, in what is known as the occupied territories, which we call the West Bank, these are territories that are occupied. That is, even if you recognize the state of Israel, the Israelis themselves have to recognize that these are occupied territories, illegally occupied, in which there are settlements that are constructed illegally every day in clear breach of all international laws, and where you have roads that are for settlers and roads that are for the Arabs, where you have water wells that are for settlements, and small springs where the Arabs can hardly and barely get their water from, and where the lands are divided and are under occupation, where the Arabs, which are in occupied, their own occupied land, cannot circulate freely.
Palestinians are demonized in the media as being violent. How do you respond to that?
The issue of double standards and of mediatization of liberation struggle is not new, and it does not apply only to Palestine. The empire is not going to be gentle to whoever is standing up to it. And by empire, I am not only talking about the US, I'm talking about what the way the world is ruled, the combination of large corporations, the economic interest, as well as the political interest that rule the world. And these are not going to recognize your struggle, whichever it is. And in my opinion, and in the opinion of the United Nations and of everybody, any liberation struggle, anybody who is being attacked and occupied has the right to use any means available in order to fight occupation. Why it is ridiculous that the onus is on the victim to justify the use of the violence when it is the oppressor that is armed to the teeth and that, as you put it, pummels the victim and then asks for the victim to be peaceful.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World As We Know It and I Feel Fine. A bunch of freedom fighters divested their extra cash to make this video intifada happen. Taylor, Thomas, Stephen, Brian, Tony, Courtney, James, Ravi, Garcon, Mike, Will, Casey, Mark, Sarah, Mary, Lynn, Tim, Greg, Kathleen, Audrey, Sarah, Margaret, Domika, Michael, Maureen, June, and Rhonda Palinka. To comment on this show, or for links to the coming intifada, just visit my fucking website. Stimulator.tv. Salam aleikum, suckers.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high quality video of this show at submedia.tv.